Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun. And we are holding one line up from the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Bet. So the next thing that the Mishnah said is that Kema'aseu B'chol, Kach Ma'aseu B'Shabbat, that this, everything that we did for the Simchat Bet HaShoeva was done on Shabbat as well, except for one thing: we couldn't carry the water from the Shiloh, so we had to prepare it from before. And, says the Mishnah, in order to prepare it from before, we did not put it in the normal tzluchit shel zahav. Instead, we put it into this barrel, and specifically, it was a barrel that was eina mekudeshet. Shouldn't have kedusha in it. Asks the Gemara, what's wrong if it would be mekudeshet? V'amai? Naitei b'mekudeshet. Now, let's understand what the Gemara's question was based on. Obviously, the Gemara knew that we have to avoid having the water be kedesh before, because if it was Kadesh on Erev Shabbos, then by the time Shabbos morning was come around, it would be possible Belina, because we left it overnight. And like any other carbon, the Nisach HaMayim is possible Belina. So the Gemara knew that. So then that means that the Gemara's question over here was based on an assumption that there should be no problem of utilizing a Kli that was a Kli Shares, and that nonetheless there would be a way to avoid the Kedusha on the Mayim, and it wouldn't become possible Lina. Now, what would that be? Well, there's a number of possibilities. One possibility is that you would put in too much water. If you hold that Ein Kli Sharis Mekadesh Ela the Ra'ui Lahem, and that's the Halacha L'chora, so then the question would be, if you put in more than the 3 lugin of water, so then the Kli wouldn't be Mekadesh the water because there's too much there. Unless maybe there is no real shear to the water. Maybe that's like a preferred thing, but if you would pour in a whole barrel, it would nonetheless be Kadesh and would be Roy for the Mizbeach. Oh, so then there would be no way to avoid the Kedusha that way by putting in too much water. But then there's another issue. The other issue is, if you hold Ein Kli Sharik Mekachin Elamidat, that just because something is put into a Kodesh Kli doesn't mean it becomes Kodesh. It would have to be put there by someone in order to make it Kodesh. So then what's the problem? I go out on Erev Shabbos. I collect the water. Either I put in too much water, if you hold that the water has a specific shear, and then on Shabbos I transfer it to the Tzluchish Lazav of the correct size, and then it wouldn't be Kodesh until it gets into the Tzluchish Lazav. And I could, at the time that I collect the water, not have in mind that I want the water to be Kodesh now, which I don't. I wouldn't even have to have it in mind. I mean, that's the whole point, right? So then the Gemara is taking for granted that at least one of these approaches should work. Why is it that we would say that you cannot use a Kli Mekudesh? So Amai, Naitei B'Mekudeshet. So you see that a lot, those words, Naitei B'Mekudeshet, require a lot of prior understanding of what they're based on. But now we understand that there's two factors that the Gemara is taking into consideration. Omar Ze'iri, so says Ze'iri, look, obviously, if you cannot use a Kli that's Mekudesh, then that means that neither of these two options exist. So either the idea that you'll put in too much water, not an Eitzah, because apparently Kasava, the Mishnah holds, Ein Shir Lamayim, doesn't matter how much water you're Mekudesh. The 3 Lugin is not this specific, you can even do much more. And apparently the other Eitzah, which is not to have in mind that it should be Mekudesh, is also irrelevant, because Kli Sharet or Mekachim Shalom Midat. Apparently, the Tana holds, since it says Kol HaNogea BeHamikdash, doesn't matter whether you want it to be Kodesh, you don't want it to be Kodesh, once it's inside of Kli Sharet, it is automatically Kodesh. And therefore, there's no Eitzah. Because the moment he might even be Kodesh, if you would put it into a Kodesh Kli, it would become possible Belina. Chizkiah says, oh, you can't prove this, you know? I mean, one thing you could prove, yes, that Ein Shir Lamayim, I agree. But you cannot prove that that klishar is in Mekachin Elamidat, because remember, is the issue here only the fact that it shouldn't be Kodesh, or is the issue what people will think? Because, look, I understand if you put in a lot of water, people will understand that, well, it's too much water here for the Nizach HaMayim, right? So that you could prove from here, that that's not an option, and that anyway, apparently there's no shear to the Mayim. I agree with you. But as far as people saying, well, the water's in Kodesh because he didn't put it in there, I mean, they don't know that. They can't see that. And therefore, they might make a terrible mistake and think that maybe they will believe that it was Kodesh. And then they'll think that you're allowed to use even something on the Mizbeach that was already lan overnight, and they'll come to do the Nisuch HaYayin during the year. They'll think that Nisuch doesn't become posel when there is a lina. So that's a gezeira, but you can't prove that necessarily it really would become Kodesh. Therefore, says Chizkiah, Kli Sharet in Mekachin Elamidat could still be true. But gezeira Shema Yomru Ladat Nitkachu. People may not realize that, and they'll come to the wrong conclusion. Omer Rabbi Yanai, Afilu Teim, it's unreasonable that it should say Omer Rabbi Zera, that Rabbi Yanai would be quoting Rabbi Zera. It does make sense. And indeed, Rashi doesn't have it, it just says Rabbi Yanai Yomer. Afilu Teima Yeshiu Lamayim. You don't even have any way to say the other conclusion, namely that Chizkiah was ready to agree that that it's clear that even if there was too much water, that people would still believe that it was Kodesh. There must be that Ein Shir L'mayim, even if Yein Shir L'mayim. And also, Klishar is Emekachin L'mayim, there's still a Gezerah. Because how does someone who sees the water coming the next morning, sees the water coming from this big barrel into the Tzluchis, right? So, and they say, wow, there's so much water in there. Apparently, it wasn't Mekudesh, if you would hold that the Klishar is that the Mayim has a Shir, this is too much for the Shir. Because people who are onlookers have no way of knowing when this water was Mekudesh. This water could have been Mekudesh from Yom Kippur a few days before, right? And we put the water in there in order to provide the Kohen Gadol. We need him to have water to be do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. He doesn't use the Kiyor, remember, on Yom HaKippur, and we bring him this special Kli. We kept filling it up from the barrel. So they'll think, okay, so then maybe this water was from then. And that for sure doesn't have a shear. What's the difference? How much water you put in there for the Kohen Gadol? And therefore, they will have no idea that this water was not Mekudash. And they'll make the mistake of thinking that even though it was Nifsil Belina, apparently Lina doesn't passel on the Sachim. And they'll come and they'll bring the Sachim that were lan, terrible disaster. So therefore, you can't prove anything from this Mishnah. Not that the Mayim have a shear, don't have a shear, not the Klisharis or Mekachim Shalomidas, nothing. It all could be a Gezerah. Next thing the Mishnah said was that if the water spilled, well, obviously you'll have to bring it from somewhere else if it spilled, but it also says if the water was uncovered. Now, the water uncovered is not such a disaster, is it? Because what are we afraid of? We're afraid of the venom of the snake that's in there. So the pashtus, we assume the only thing we're nervous about is that what if some of the supposed water that we're pouring out in the Shlosha Lugin, suppose some of it is actually this biological material from the snake and is not water. So then we're not going to have the shear that we need to pour out. The minimum shear is Shlosha Lugin, connected to Shlosha Lugin of Yain. So what's the problem, Esther Gemara? What, you're telling me that they didn't have Brita filter bottles in those times? Why can't you just put the water through a Brita filter? And then all of the snake venom, Brita guarantees their water against snake venom for Gilui. So because of that, all of the venom is going to be stuck in the filter. And then when you pour out the water, it's going to be pure water and there won't be any chashad of mixing it with the snake venom. So everything should be fine, right? So am I? Lavir b'misanenet. Why can't we put it through a misanenet? By the way, there's a lot of discussion on, if we're talking about on Shabbos, how can you put it through the misanenet? You're not allowed to be misanen on Shabbos, right? A lot of interesting discussions about, like, why does the Gemara assume that it would be mutter to mimavir be misanenet? Okay, one of the possibilities is that the whole idea of Gilui is a Chumra B'Yalma, the male, it's really Roy Lishtia, and so on. Okay, that's Chazanish's approach. But in any event, why can't we put it through a Brita filter? Unless we don't hold a Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman is the one who says that Brita filters are good for getting rid of snake venom. So instead of being makbet on Gilui, all you need is a good bottle of water with a filter in it. And then even if the top is uncovered, but the stuff that goes through the filter won't be a problem of Gilui, so you'll be able to drink it. Because Rabbi Nachemya said to Tanya, in wine, what they used to do is they used to make the yayin konditon by passing the wine through a filter. So in the upper layer, they would have all types of additional spices. This was spiced wine. So they would have the spices. The wine would be sitting in the spices, and then it would gradually make its way through the filter that would filter out any pieces that came from the spices, and you would have this flavored spicy wine that would come out at the bottom. And what Rabbi Nechemya said about that was the question of the Tnan. It says actually that the misanenet yesh bo mishum gilui, that there is a halacha of gilui according to the Tanakhama, even if it's in a misanenet to make the yain konditun, and if the upper part was uncovered, then you can't drink the wine. Whereas Rabbi Nechemia says, no, the only time Yesh Bavishim Gili, Ematay, Bizman Shatachtona Megula, that's only if the wine that came through the filter was uncovered in the lower part where it comes out of the filter. But as long as the Tachtona is Mechusa, Afa Pisha Elyona Megula, Ein Bavishim Gili. There'd be no problem of Gili. Why? Because the only issue of Gili is we're afraid that a poisonous snake drank from it. But that's not a problem if there's a filter. Because the venom is actually foamy. And it's like a sfog. And it is going to be caught by the filter because it's tsafa or made bimikomo. It does not actually disperse throughout the water such that it's now a mixture like salt would be or something. It's something that can actually be filtered out. And therefore, there'd be no problem if the lower part that passed through the filter is uncovered. So why can't we pass the water for the nisuch through a brita filter is the question. Answers the Gemara, I mean, come on, guys. The only problem over here is the displacement of the actual water with the nachash venom. I mean, doesn't it occur to you that there's another problem over here? Would you go ahead and bring water that had snake venom in it that you passed through a brita filter? Would you give that to the melech? Is that exactly what you want to provide for melech balchei hamlochim? That's all very nice. Now, filo teima Rabbi Nechemia. Eima deyama Rabbi Nechemia lehediot. Rabbi Nechemia said, for people, nu mele, for you and for me, that's fine. We'll pass it through a brita filter. But legavoa mi amar. Would Rabbi Nechemia ever have said such a thing in the Beis HaMikdash? Doesn't Rabbi Nechemia hold of the pasuk? The pasuk in Malachi that's making fun of the way the B'nai Yisrael don't care. And all they look at is like the halacha. You know, okay, so the halacha says if it goes through the brita filter, therefore it's okay. And you try bringing stuff like this to your local mayor, you know. I dare you. He's going to be very impressed by your beautiful gifts. I should be impressed with your halacha, you understand? I mean, there is a different element in the korban than just the halacha, no? So that's exactly what Malachi was making fun of. So the Chemi doesn't hold to the pasuk in Malachi. Hadran alach lulav v'arava. Oh my gosh. Doc, I think he made it. Hechalil. Now, the next thing that we had, when we were talking about in the original Mishnah that opened up the previous parak, and we've been doing that Mishnah, we've been taking every word in that Mishnah and putting it through a misanenet to make sure we understand it properly. So the next thing in that Mishnah was that the Chalil, and we'll explain what this is in a moment, the Chalil is Chamisha Veshisha. What are we referring to? Well, we're referring to the Chalil that played in the Simchas Beit HaShoeva. So we're talking about the special music that was played in the simcha that was made lichvod, the She'ivas Hamayim, and that was a musical instrument, and you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos. You're not allowed to play music on Yontav because of the Gezeira Derabbanan. So because of that Gezeira, it wouldn't be Deucha, either Shabbos or Yontav. Therefore, if the Yontav and Shabbos coincided, so then you were left with another 6 days besides Yontav slash Shabbos. But if Yontav and Shabbos didn't coincide, so then you were left with only 5 days. One day Shabbos, one Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and one day Yontav, and that way you would be left with only 5 days to be able to play the Chalil of the Beit HaShoeva. Now there's a very important machloket over here about whether the whole mitziut of the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, its mokar is, as we said, the Gusha'afte Mayim Bisason, which is what we brought earlier for the din of the trumpeting that we would do for collecting the Mayim. So most understand that that is why we call this the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Its mikor is the fact that of says Gusha'afte Mayim Bisason. The Rambam brings zero from any of that. He doesn't know from any Simchat Beit HaShoeva at all. He knows only from a special simcha yitera, as he puts it, that was in the Beit HaMikdash at this particular time. And his lashon is, Af al pi shekol ha-mo'adot mitzvah lismoach behem, b'chag ha-sukkot hayta b'mikdash yom simcha yitera, and mitzvah laharbot b'simcha zu. And this is the inyan of the actual v'samachta lifnei Hashem of the Shivas Yomi. So according to him, this was a special chiyuv of Chag HaSukkos, which may be expressed in the Sha'afta Mayim B'Sosat. But its mokar is in the special din of Simchas Chagasukas Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, the Shivas Yomim. So it does not, even if we'll call it the Simchas Pesach Shoev, as we'll see in a moment, it does not mean that that is the mokar of the Chiyuv, which would explain why the Gemara is so shocked earlier, looking for a mokar for why it is that we would do the trumpeting, if we know like the whole Hanhaga of Sukkot is based on a special Simcha of the Beis HaShoeva. Now this, why is it called the Chalil? Because in all of these songs, the use was of a Chalil specifically as the open and closing of the song. And I even sent you once, I forgot when, which time we did it, but I put up a song, it was a couple of times ago, you say? One time ago. Okay, but I actually put up a song to show what this sounds like and how remarkably special it is and how unbelievably emotional it is. And therefore, we used to use the Chalil alone to end the song, and that's what was left in people's mind. And we called this the Chalil for these special songs, and this was done as well for any time that the Hallel. Now, the Hallel was done, of course, in the 12 days a year that we do the Hallel. We also called that the Chalil Hayam HaKel Lifnei HaMizbeach Yud Beis Yomim Bashana. That's the whole story in Erechin that discusses the mitzvah of Shira. Here we're talking about the Chalil of the Beit HaShoeva, which was not done on the Mizbeach, but which was the orchestra that played all night long. And we'll discuss this as we go on through the sugya in detail.
And the pipe connected to Beis HaShoeva makes you think of a water pipe, which makes you think of drinking.
The pipe? Pipe connected? You mean the shittin you're talking about?
What?
Are you talking about the shittin? Which pipe?
I'd say a chalil for the water drawing ceremony makes you think of a water pipe. It's the right answer.
I suppose if you are in the Madriga of a Barnea and can see all of these connections instantly, it might remind you of that. I can imagine such an intelligence, but not being privy to it. But I can imagine it. Or Itma. Rav Yehuda and Rav Ina had different girsaot in the Mishnah. So Chatani Shoeva. So one was the girsa that we have, the Simchas HaShoeva. Now, as Tosis brings in the Yerushalmi, it does not call it Shoeva al Shem Hamayim. It calls it Shoeva al Shem Mishom Shoavim Ruach HaKedesh. Because the Shechina was Shoeva from this Simcha. And as a matter of fact, it says that Yonah HaNavi was Zechat his Nevius through attending the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So, of course, that might have something to do with his depths and the Tahom and the Mayim that he was exposed to and the way that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva relates back, as we'll see in a moment, to the Sheishis and Bereishis. But anyway, so Tosis brings all of this from the Yerushalmi, in which case even the Shita of the Girsa of the Mishnah that has the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not necessarily relating it to the Sheivas HaMayim directly. There's a deeper Shoeva over here. And the other Girsa was, it was the Simcha Chashuva, and not the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, but rather it was called the Simcha of the Chashuva, and both of them are correct, says Marzutra. Omar Marzutra, Mandetani Shoeva lo Mishtabesh, Umandetani Chashuva lo Mishtabesh. Fact is that neither of them are making a mistake. There's a mocker for both of these girsaot. Mandetani Shoeva lo Mishtabesh, that's because indeed we want to be Meramis to the Simcha through Usha'avte Mayim Bisason. So we see that She'iva actually has something to do with Sason, which is why we would call this the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Uman de Tani Chashuva lo Mishtavesh. The Omer of Nachman Mitzvah Chashuvahi Uva'a Misheshet Yimei Bereshit. This is an extremely important mitzvah, and it comes all the way from Sheshet Yimei Bereshit. So Rashi says it comes from Sheshet Yimei Bereshit because the Shisim were Nivru B'Sheshet Yimei Bereshit. Others understand the Gemara is relating directly back to the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to the Mayim HaTachtonim, that they would be reconnected with the Mayim HaElyonim. And when is this Mekuyam? It's a Mekuyam on this day. Now that was already from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, because that was during the second day of Maaseh Bereshis, where the Mayim was in tears, so to speak, because of being separated out. And it's therefore the place where we are Mechaber, the two worlds. Remember the whole sugya in Chagiga, that the inyan of that Havdalah, that was Ben Zoma, and that was the Mayim Bein HaMayim HaElyonim, the Mayim HaTachtonim, and that defines our ability to be omed on all of the inyanei hamerkava that are called there the davar gadol inyanei pardes, and that from sheishis ubei bereishis, that human pain that's expressed within us as well, of that desire to integrate those two parts of ourselves, come to this one day, this one period of the year on Sukkot, to real simcha, and that's the only real simcha, is in that reintegration. So because of that, he would call it the mitzvah hashuva from sheishis ubei bereishis, which in a sense was the whole purpose of the sheishis ubei bereishis, and given its first expression, its first human expression, in the tefillah on the mayim, which was the Adam ayin l'aved es ha'adamah, and being placed into Gan Eden l'avdav l'shamra. So, therefore, it makes a lot of sense to call it the mitzvah hashuva. Tana Rabbana, hechalil docha et ha'shabbat, divrei Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, in the Braita we find that not everybody is made that the Chalil is not played on Shabbat. According to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is wrong, and a Chalil is played on Shabbat, and therefore it would not be true to say a Chalil chamisha v'shisha. It would be, the Chalil would be all of the Shivas Yomim. So says Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachomim omrim, no, even Yom Tov it's not doch, in which case it depends when Shabbos will fall out. Sometimes it might be only chamisha yamim. So, that's a tremendous machlokas. What are they arguing about? Om Rav Yosef, I'll tell you what I believe the machloket to be. Machloket over here is limited to the shir shel korban, because Rav Yosef savar ikashir bekli, and it's an avodah. The Mishnah is not what they're arguing about. Everybody agrees to this Mishnah. This machlokas between Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachomim is a reference to the Chalil that is referred to with the 12 days a year that the Chalil haya makel lifnei hamizbeach. That was the Chalil that was brought at the time of the Nisuch HaYayin with the Korban, which is a D'oraisa. That's the Avodat Avodah. So of course it's Docha Shabbos. If the Korban Tamid is Docha Shabbos, so the requirements of the playing the music with the Korban Tamid won't be Docha Shabbos? That's insane. Of course it's Docha Shabbos. And that's exactly what the Machlokas says, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that the playing of musical instruments is absolutely central to the idea of Shira. You cannot be Yotze Shira just with singing. You have to have the accompaniment of the instruments. And therefore, if the Iker Shira has to be done by Kli, that means it's an Aveda, which means it's part of the bringing of the Korban Teda, which means that it's Deucha Shabbos, it's certainly Yontem. And the Rabbanan hold, you're Yotze the Iker Shira with singing. And therefore, the accompaniment is not required as the essential Aveda. And therefore, it's not Deucha Shabbos. But if it comes to our Mishnah, that's not a problem. Our Mishnah is talking about the Shir Shel Shoeva. That wasn't done by the Mizbeach. That was done on the stairs that were in the Ezra's Nashim going up to Shar Niknar. Everybody agrees that that is a getter of Simcha and is not an Aveda. Ve'eina docha at Shabbat. Omer of Yosef, mina mina lo daba pligi. Let me prove to you. I'll prove to you from somewhere else, it's totally unrelated, that this happens to be the machlokas between Rav Yosi bar Yehuda and others. Because look at this machlokas, you'll see it's so consistent. D'tanya, kli sharecha asa'an shel eitz, Rebbe posel, Rebbe Yosi bar Yehuda machshir. See, here it says, if you made a kli sharet out of wood, it's a machlokas whether that is kosher. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Rabbi says it's not. Now, what do you think this machlokas is? I'll tell you. It's exactly what I suggested here. My lab baka miflaget. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. He holds that Iker Shira is Bikli. Now, if Iker Shira Bikli, it means that the musical instruments that were in the Beis HaMikdash are kalim that are clay sharet. If they're clay sharet, then that means that they can serve as a model for how to make clay sharet, right? So if the Chalil, which needed to be made specifically not out of metal, it needed to be made out of reeds, because the Gemara in Erechon has a story about how they tried to cover it up with gold in order to make it choshev, and so on and so forth, and it ended up ruining the tone of the Chalil. The whole beauty of the Chalil was the way that it was an actual reed and not anything else. And therefore, it means that there were kli sharet that were made out of wood. And therefore, a kli sharet can be made out of wood, says Rabbi Yosef Rebbe. You see? Whereas if Rebbe holds that the Iker Shira is actually bepeh, so then that would mean that the musical instruments were not kli sharet, because they weren't essential for the Aveda. Therefore, we can't learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu's avuv, which was made out of wood. And that must be that this is the machlokas over here too. What do you think about that, says Rabbi Yosef. Says the Gemara, we're not impressed. Doesn't mean that that's the machlokas over here. It could be that Kuli Alma Ikashira Bekli, maybe Rabbi also agrees. It could be that Ikashira is Bekli, but you still wouldn't be able to learn out all of the Klei Sharet from one little Khalil, would you? Because, I mean, the Khalil doesn't have an option. Obviously, if the only way to make an effective Khalil that has the correct tonalities for the Beis HaMikdash is out of wood, so you have to make it out of wood, but you ain't done Efshar Mishi Efshar. That doesn't mean that just because you need to make the reeds into the Khalil, that means you can use wood for other Klisharis. Maybe you cannot use wood for the other Klisharis. So therefore, since they hold Ein Danini Efshar Mishi Efshar, maybe that's the Machlokas. Man Demakshas Savra Danini Efshar Mishi Efshar. So the one who holds you're allowed to, he holds. What's the difference? Bottom line is the Torah had to be Machshir. You're telling me it had to be Machshir. Fine, it had to be Machshir. There was no option. But is the bottom line that you can make a Klisharis out of wood? Yes. So that means you can make any Klisharis out of wood. That's what Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi says, how can you make a general rule out of something which is obviously a very particular case? Elo Danin Efshar Mishi Efshar. Or I could tell it could be there's another basis to the Machlokas and not Rabbi Yosef's basis of Iker Shira Beper Bekli. Maybe actually Kulei Alma Iker Shira Beper. And Kulei Alma could also even agree that Ein Danin Efshar Mishi Efshar. But there's another question over here. The question is whether the menorah, which would definitely serve as the model for Kli Sharet, the menorah, how was the menorah itself limited in terms of the materials that you could learn from it? And there, the machlokas is like this. Now, this is a very, very fundamental machlokas in how to be Derish Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, we've had it numerous times, but it's kedai to review it because it's so central to the Midah Shatera Nidreshes Behem. So remember that there are two basic approaches. Do we look at the Torah as Klal Prat, with all of the intimations of Klal Prat? Klal uprat, ein bichlal, alamashe beprat, prat uklal, mar bekol bili, klal prat uklal, ein bichlal, elake ein aprat. Is that the way to be darish the Torah? So then that would mean that the Torah is structured in ways that is set structured. You're meant to create sets. The other way of learning the Torah is through ribuye umiute. If you learn that instead of a klal, the way to view something is that the Torah is giving a general statement which does not form a set. It's simply all-inclusive. So if it mentions a specific, the specific has to be related back to the sense of the klal, which was all-inclusive. Now here's the obvious difference. If you give a klal and a prat, start with a klal and a prat, and what do you have? Since you said the klal and then immediately followed it by a prat, we have no choice but to understand that the prat is the definition of the set. The set consists of the prat. If you then add a klal afterwards, that means that you're telling me, no, the set does not consist of the prat. The set consists of things that are similar to the prat. Because otherwise, why do I need to be kolel afterwards again to expand it? So the expansion at the end expands the prat into the definition of the set rather than to be the member of the set. That's klal prat uklal. So here's how it would go. You started off with a klal. That would just be a statement that included it. Everything. You went ahead with a prat that defined it as a set of the prat. You added the klal achron, and that gave you the rule of klal prat or klal ein bichlal. It's marbe kol davar dome leprat. Fine. On the other hand, if you start off with ribui umiute, if you take a ribui and then you put in a miut, then what that miut is doing, it's telling you, listen, I just told you a general statement which would be inclusive of all things. I am now telling you that you must limit that inclusive statement, and therefore only use it if it's consistent with the miut. So now what that yields you is the same thing as a klal prat or klal if you're going with klal prat instead of ribui miute. Because what it's saying is it needs to be consistent with the miut. So therefore, if it's similar to the miut, it's consistent with the miut. The moment that I add the ribui at the end, I'm telling you, no. Don't take it that way. It's so limited. I stick with the idea of including all things. Okay, so then why did you mention the miut? Not the miut, I'm saying the miut. I mentioned the miut to make a single case which I want to exclude. Now, what that single case is not defined by what's mentioned. It's defined by what is the least reasonable to be marba. that is similar to what's mentioned. So let's take a look at how this plays out in terms of the menorah. So the Rebbe is Darish Kol Yoprati, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda is Darish Ribui Amiyute. So let's see how Rebbe learns the pasuk about the menorah. V'asita menorat zahav tahor mikshet aseh menorah. Here's how he darshens it. V'asita menorah. Okay, that's kalal. Now, once you got that kalal, you immediately follow it with the word zahav tahor. That would have limited the menorah to only be made of zahav tahor. But then you say, make sure your menorah can be made from whatever is hammered. So now chazer v'kalal. What's the rule? Klal prat uklal iat adam elaka ina prat. The prat is mefurash zahav. Okay, what is similar to zahav? Zahav is a metal. Therefore, af kol shel matechet, anything which is metallic can be used for kli sharis, but not wood. This is where Rebbe gets the idea that wood cannot be the source of the menorah, and therefore, no kli sharis, where menorah serves as the model, can be made out of wood. Whereas Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, he's Darish Ribu Yomiyute. Let's see how that plays out in the pasuk of the menorah. V'asita menorat is a riba. That's everything. Zahav tahor is a miyet, and that would have limited it to things like zahav metal. Mikshet te'asea menorah, chaz of a riba. Rubing, riba, miyet, v'riba. The end result is everything is included. Okay, so my Rabbi Komili, wood, metal, anything, foam rubber, whatever you want. So then my miyet, what is excluded? The thing that is least similar to zahav. Zahav is a metal which has a tremendous intrinsic value and is beautiful, used for very important circumstances and families, and therefore roy for the malchus. What is the thing that is least like zahav? Earthenware. Breakable, ugly, smelly, and never used by quality for quality moments. So therefore, if it's made out of cheres, it will be possible. But if it's made out of wood, you can certainly, it's perfectly okay. Why wouldn't it be? It's Rabbi Kol Mili. And therefore, the menorah could be made out of wood. If the menorah can be made out of wood, comes along Rabbi Yosef to say, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, okay, that's our model. In which case, my dear Rabbi Yosef, you cannot conclude from this machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that there is an issue of whether or not the Ikashir is prepared. Ikashir v'krim had nothing to do with the Avuv Shel Moshe and everything to do with our Derish Peklal Prat, and therefore don't jump to conclusions. You may be absolutely right, but you certainly can't prove it from here. Okay. Excellent, Rabbi Yosef. Tomorrow we're going to see that actually we do find Machlokas and Tanoim about all this whole issue about Ikashir v'krim, Ikashir v'krim, and we'll be talking about that.